Well, good evening. We're going to our Bibles tonight, the book of Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. We'll end up reading the whole chapter of the whole proverb, but instead of reading all at one whack, I'm just going to read the first four or five verses here in a moment, and we'll break down the rest of the chapter as we go. But we'll talk a little bit tonight about wisdom or staying on the right path. How many of you would agree with this statement? The older I get, the wiser my father is. I tell you what, my dad was a farmer. He grew up in East Tennessee, had 9 brothers and 6 sisters, plus 2 others that died at birth. And I tell you what, you had to be quick at the supper table, let me tell you. But it was so nice to go to Grandma's house to sit on that long, long 8-foot or so picnic style table, benches on both sides. Grandma sat on this end only because it was closer to the oven, and Papa sat on the other end. And each morning for breakfast, there was a bowl of hot rice, biscuits, homemade sausage, eggs, gravy. Am I missing anything? On both ends of the table. I mean, we ate breakfast. I always loved to go to Grandma's. Had a smokehouse around back, along a little bit closer to the house, and the outhouse. The outhouse was a little further down. You know, I needed a flashlight at night to find it. But Dad grew up on a farm and quit school in the 10th grade. But Dad was very smart, very good in geometry, trigonometry, though he never took it in school. He was self-taught. He worked in the field of mechanics as far as sheet metal goes. He could make anything out of metal or duckboard. If he could see it, you gave it to him, he could make it, find a way to make it. And when he retired, and he retired because he just got fed up with all the politics, I can hire, but I can't fire. He says, I mean, anybody can behave for a year and then act up. So if I can't let them go, I'm going. They didn't believe him. Finally, after a couple years later, he retired early, like at 62, 63, took his retirement, and it took them forever to replace him. They tried to call back, get him to come back to work. One day to come back and said, we'll offer you more money. You come back as a contractor. So he came in and talked to him one day, and he didn't go back. And here's what their problem was. He says, we can't find anyone with a college education to take your place. And my dad started laughing. He goes, what are you laughing about, Cookie? Because they called my dad Cookie growing up. He says, I've got a 10th grade education. I just know how to do it because I learned how to do it through the years. They looked at each other and thought, we had no idea. He said, look for experience. We live in a world today, and I'm probably getting ahead of myself, I may repeat this, but we've got so much technology at our fingertips today, but yet we have a dearth of wisdom. We really do. And look, we're going to talk a little bit about wisdom tonight. Proverbs chapter 4, let's begin reading in verse 1. We'll read the first 5 verses. And then I'm going to pause and get me some more water with this allergy. And I want to ask Brother Ken Cena to pray for me after I read these 5 verses. And I'll sneak a swig of water. Y'all close your eyes and I'll sneak a drink of water and then we'll get going. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 1. Hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Brother. Amen. Now I know tonight I'm kind of speaking and teaching and preaching to a crowd that's a little bit older. Most of your kids are grown. You might have some here that might have a few at home. But there's one thing I've learned about talking about wisdom, child rearing, family, all those things. It really doesn't matter whether I can apply it to my life now or not, but somewhere along the way, I might be able to share it with someone else to encourage them. Or we might apply it to our lives with our grandchildren. We raised 4. I don't know about you. Would you join me? I made some mistakes in raising mine. I learned my first 2 went through the school of hard knocks. The second 2 benefited from those hard knocks. And their older siblings remind them often that we paved the way for them. And I think I learned some from them as I work with my grandchildren. We enjoy being here, having some children here, especially our grandchildren. I enjoyed being called Pepaw. Michelle enjoys being called Grams. But isn't it something how those grandkids will behave better for Grandma and Grandpa than they will for Mom or Dad? And maybe sometimes because they know maybe we don't say one, two. No, we say now. And these are, they know by the tone of the voice. And we live in a world today that is deteriorating in so many areas. But I want to say something. This generation that we live in now that's coming up has more access, as I mentioned before, to more media, more data about the universe and human personality than all previous generations combined. High school graduates have been exposed to more information about the world than Plato, Aristotle, or Benjamin Franklin. Another problem is some of our students today don't know who those three men are. With all of our knowledge in society today, we seem to be loaded with a bumper crop of brilliant failures. And I think it comes down to more than just education, but sometimes just what we used to say down south, or they probably even say it over in East Texas, just good common horse sense. Just common sense. But yet, they're so more concerned about views and likes or anything else than they are about pleasing the Lord and living a life and trying to share the wisdom they get from the Lord. See, knowledge is not enough to meet life's problems. We need wisdom, the ability to handle life with skill. But the skill that many oftentimes comes from knowing and having a relationship with the Lord and being the Word of God. See, this is a good time to reflect on the things that help build a great life. Here's a few examples. Here's a person's list of qualities of a great life. Self-control, how to understand sayings with deep meanings, doing what is right, honest, and fair, gaining knowledge and good sense, communication skills, surviving high school and college. I would imagine today you ask the younger generation about those about things in relation to great life and qualities. I wonder if any of those would be on that list. Again, there's so much is tied up on social media and other things, and sometimes we forget the best relationships are those eyeball to eyeball. Those best relationships are able to sit down and talk with one another, pointing others to Christ. Even though all these tools and social media and things can be used for the glory of God, but we need to be careful they don't consume so much of our time that we're no good in the present. You see, the theme of Proverbs that we're looking at tonight is wisdom. Getting it, understanding it, and using it, as we see in verses 2 through 5. Wisdom isn't always natural to us, especially, not picking on anyone, but preteens and teenagers. They tend to choose unwise paths. And as I mentioned before, the older I get, the wiser my father is. I mean, think about it. I knew everything when I was a teenager. I did. I knew everything. In fact, even to the point that I was so fed up with all the rules, I didn't like to be told what to do and how to do it. I didn't like the idea of getting up my laundry, had to carry it upstairs from the basement. I didn't like to have to do all the yard work, so I just ran off and joined the army. Now, honestly, that was my younger brother. I was a little more responsible. I did help Mom and Dad around the house. I didn't have to be asked to do a lot of those things. I just wanted to please Mom and Dad. I wanted to be a help. And I learned real quick, it's nice to have the keys to be able to go places and not taken away. And they were usually taken away when I wasn't doing the right thing. But my brother, he's just hard-headed. Love you, John, if you're watching. But he went off, he'll tell you today, he went off and joined the army to get away from all the rules. And then he was sent to Iraq in the Middle East. Came back a different man. Sometimes we need a little bit of an adjustment. As we go a little further tonight, I would like to share with you just three principles of wisdom and or how to stay on the right path. It doesn't matter what age we are, from the youth, middle-aged, preteen, teenagers, young adults, married, grandparents, any along the way, we need wisdom in our life because we will never learn it all. In fact, in preparation for the message this morning, I learned some things. And even though I've read Luke chapter 5, I could almost quote the first 12 verses by memory. I love that chapter. I preached out of that a lot on missions. But this morning, directing in a different direction and restudying and relooking at it, I saw some things I'd never seen before. Even though I'd read it a multitude of times. And that comes from getting in the Word and that godly wisdom. Dear friends, every Christian needs wisdom to stay on the right path. And I know after a while my dad used to tease me and talk about, man, I don't get in near as much trouble when I was younger. He said, the bottom line is I'm just too slow and old. But we still have the problem with the eye gates, the ear gates. We may move a little slower. It may not be as quick. But there's other things Satan uses to draw our attention away or to draw our attention. Three things. Number one, how to stay on the right path. Number one, by seeking godly wisdom. By seeking godly wisdom. We read the first five verses. Let me pick up and read verse five again. And let's go ahead and read a little further through this chapter. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of thy mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. By seeking godly wisdom. See, no matter the cost, according to verse 7, it doesn't take any effort to drift downstream, if you think about it. Get godly wisdom. See, in verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Now, I've got a little note in my Bible, and I had no idea who said it. I wrote it in Bible college years ago, but it talks about wisdom, and the best definition I've ever heard, I might have shared it last week, but looking at life from God's point of view. Looking at life from God's point of view. I mean, what better wisdom than that, and looking at how God sees things, how God loves other things, but even at times how God hates things. There's things he doesn't like. God doesn't wink at sin, but there's also many things that we look past out of fear or intimidation or not sure that God loves and wants us to go and minister those as we talked about this morning. In reference to this, seeking godly wisdom, let me share with you three results of seeking wisdom in your life. Verse number 8, 9, and we've read these, and I'll go over some, but not all of them. Verse 8, 9, we see the aspect that wisdom promotes and honors. Wisdom promotes and honors. He says, exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall give thee, in verse 9, thine head an ornament of grace, and a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Wisdom is having wisdom in our life, and having that godly wisdom, well, wisdom promotes and honors us and allow us also to honor others, especially the Lord, as the way that we should. And then verse 10, we see that wisdom promises a longer life. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Sometimes good common horse sense, sometimes good common sense, sometimes spiritual wisdom will save us from a lot of trouble. Has the Lord ever had to beat you up a little bit? Lord had to take you to the woodshed? Some of us who get a little bit hard-headed and really don't want to listen, he has to take us a little harder and longer to the woodshed. I picked on my wife a lot. I'm going to pick on myself a little bit. God called me to preach when I was a teenager. And I ran for several years. Didn't want to do it. I wanted to play baseball. I lived, slept, and drank baseball. At 15 years old, I was playing summer league college level ball. I was 15 years old. Everyone else was 20 and 22, 23 years old. Got the big head. I was all tied up. Really enjoyed playing ball. And I still was in church. I was still involved in church, but I began to drift and fall away a little bit from the youth department. I was in Sunday school. I was Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Mom and Dad said, get ready to go to church. I got up and we went. But I wasn't living the way I should. I wasn't practicing godly wisdom. And I can remember like it was yesterday. I was in gym class at Oak Ridge High School. And in gym class, we were having a training on how to throw the shot put, how to throw the javelin. And it was bad weather that day, so we were inside. We actually had an indoor shot put. The way it was made, same weight, same size, but when it hit the gym floor, it gave enough that it wouldn't damage the floor. So I was down there marking the one side, and Jim Whittinghouse was on the other side, and someone else was throwing. No, Jim was throwing the shot put. I was a sophomore, and he was a senior. And he was getting ready to throw, and somebody behind me, Jimmy Brown, dropped a pole behind the bleachers, and it made a loud clanging sound. And about that time, I turned to see what it was about the time that Jim threw that shot put. And before I turned around, it hit me right here in the chest. I hit the floor. I mean, I'm telling you, it's like my life passed before my eyes. I do not know how long I was out. I was glad that it wasn't too long, because my gym coach, Mr. Jim Thurston, was standing over me, had my mouth propped over, getting ready to start mouth to mouth, and I opened my eyes and said, "Get off me." They took me to the hospital, went in to see the doctor. They x-rayed my chest, and he asked me again, "Mr. Cook, are you sure you got hit by a shot put?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I am." He said, "You're one lucky teenager, because you don't have a rib crack or broke." And I said, "I feel like I've been run over by a freight train." He gave me some pain medication. I went home, went to bed, woke up the next day. I was sore. The Lord rattled my cage really hard that day. And then the Lord got my attention. I began to realize, Lord, there's more to this. And I won't get into it tonight, but I'll say it took me a little bit longer before I made it public to surrender to preach. Instead, I just decided, well, I'll go to a Christian school and I'll teach and I'll coach. And I wrestled with the Lord a little longer, but that's for another day, another story. But it gets back to this simple aspect of wisdom and godly wisdom, keeping Christ where he needs to be. It will save us. It promotes honor. It promises longer life. But also in verse 11 and 13, wisdom provides a more stable life. That day, that aspect of verse 10 of a longer life, I'll tell you what, it rattled my cage. It got my attention, but really not fully the way God had intended. But in verse 11 through 13, we see wisdom promotes a more stable life. "I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life." Dear friends, seeking out God, seeking godly wisdom will not only promote that honor in our life, but it'll also promise a longer life and a more stable life. Well, who wants to go through life wringing their hands and worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow? Can you imagine today? Even as believers, we worry a little bit. Can you imagine for the unbeliever? The one who believes there's no heaven, there's no hell, believing there's nothing after eternity. I mean, maybe I've had some other wacky beliefs, a reincarnation or other things. I don't know. But could you imagine living a life thinking that it's just it and it's over? Boy, they have got a rude awakening coming. But the Bible, as we teach, if we will help us to stay on the right path, is by simply seeking godly wisdom, no matter the cost. Wisdom is the principal thing in verse 7. "Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." Boy, just having and knowing and seeking the mind of God will spare us so much heartache and disappointment, and sometimes the Lord even chastisement. Number two, not only by seeking godly wisdom, but by paying attention to the warnings. The story I just told about me was a warning for me. Notice verse 14. "By paying attention to the warnings," verse 14 and 15. "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away." Simply put, flee from sin. I think it was old Ron Hamilton, Pastor Pirate, "Put your running shoes on." I mean, when you see sin there, flee. I don't know about you, but I can remember growing up, there were certain people on the playground that came around. I was ready to leave. I was ready to run. Don't want to get beat up, because I already caused problems as it is. Running around with the wrong people, certain people come around, I was going to get out of there. Problem is today that we see the sin, but we don't flee from the sin. We hang around and just take a look at it. We just hang around and wonder, well, I'm close enough. Well, you know, and that's not so bad. A couple of illustrations. This is shared with our teenagers when our early ministry, we work with teenagers. If this is sin over here, this represents sin. Now, you might be okay right here, but it doesn't take much of backsliding to fall into sin from here, does it? But if we're over here, all the way on the other side, as far away as we can get from sin, boy, there's a lot of things that we might compromise in our life. The standard that maybe that we have set, it would take a whole lot for us to slip a little bit, but it would take a whole lot more for us actually to fall into sin. I can remember visiting my grandmother. And we were sitting there, and my grandmother, my father, grandfather passed away. She's sitting in that little recliner by the window so you can see people coming down the roads, Cook Hollow Road. And she could see who was coming down that gravel road. And we were sitting there. Me and Michelle was sitting there. The girls, I can't remember where Becca was, but Timothy was outside. He wanted to go outside. And, of course, the last thing he heard when he went out, Grandma called him over and said, "Now, Timothy, stay out of the barn. Leave my chickens alone." He's a little fellow. How old was Tim? Four or five years old? So he went out in the yard, and he came around, and we were watching him through the window. And we had already driven up in the driveway, and I told Tim, "Now, Tim, when you're out here in the yard playing, but remember, the field next door, Grandma's leased out. It's hers, but she's leased it out to these other people for their cattle. That's an electric fence. It'll bite you. Don't mess with it." So we're sitting there and talking to Grandma, and Grandma looks over, and she starts chuckling. I said, "Grandma, what are you laughing about?" She says, "Old Timmy, he's getting ready to learn a lesson." I looked over, and I looked out, and Tim was doing this. Just happened it. Just so happened with that pulsing, he was tapping it at the right time not to get bit. I got up and started to go to the door, and she says, "Junior, hold on. I'm named after my dad, Douglas MacArthur Cook Jr. Hold on. It won't hurt him, but he'll learn a lesson." So I stood there and said, "Okay, Grandma." We looked out the window. He tapped again, and he tapped again. Preacher, he looked around. He didn't think anyone saw him. He grabbed a hold of that thing. It knocked him on his backside. He jumped up and looked around to see if anybody was looking. But it's the same thing with sin. Don't flirt with it. Don't play around with it. If you know this is sin for you in this area, this is something that will pull you down, don't mess with it. Now, there's some things that I may not do that you may enjoy. That doesn't make it wrong. But I know my weakness. For example, I'll just share a few things with you. I don't have Facebook. Lord, I don't think I'll ever have Facebook. Because for me, it's a weakness. I'm afraid I'll spend all of my time doing all of this and less time in the Word and less time in prayer, and my time is gone. So I've chosen to stay away from it completely. Now, Michelle has a Facebook account because she likes to do Marketplace, and the kids send pictures sometimes, but that's it. I mean, bless her heart, she has no friends. That's about all I know about Facebook. That's about it. Friends and unfriending people. But I'm not against social media, but I know my weaknesses. I don't play a lot of video games because it consumes my time. When my children were home and they would play a few video games, and we had a time frame where they could and they couldn't and they had to do homework, but their time was limited. And they'd always want me to play some of the games with them. And I would sit down and I would set a timer. I would say, "Girls, okay, but I'm setting a timer." Or I'd say, "Michelle, holler at me in 30 minutes. Because I knew before long I would be there playing with my kids, even though I'm spending time with them, when I could be doing other things. I still plan to prepare quality time with them, but and for them that was enjoyable, especially when they always beat me. But I knew my weaknesses. And if we know our weaknesses, so for me, video games, social networking, I'm afraid it could be sin for me because it would consume and I would waste my time. So for me, I need to stay away from it as much as I can. So I just let Michelle do it. No. But so I just stay away from it. But there's other things as well that I'm careful about because I know my weaknesses. Now, I want to go ahead and go a little bit deeper. We spent some time in Germany and in Europe. Pornography in Germany and Europe was horrible, horrible. I mean, you go to the gas station, the Esso station, you go to the store, it was all out there. I mean, here, at least in the States, they put something in front of it. There, they don't. So I did not like to buy gas off base. If I could get it on base, that's where I wanted it to go, because you walk up to the counter, it could be some laying there. So sometimes if I had to go in and get gas and Michelle wasn't with me, I'd send her in to pay, I'd pump. Or if I had to go in, I would always try to go in the line on the other side away, and they would always try to tell me, well, the line's over here. I said, it's okay. I'll just wait here. I'm behind him. Because I did not even want to be on that side for the temptation. Well, Brother Cook, you're worried? Yes, I'm worried. I'm a man. I'm a flesh and bones. All of us are subject to failure and to sin. How many know preachers that have fallen in sin? Missionaries, evangelists. How many of them you think woke up and said, I'm going to fall into sin today and ruin my life? No, it's not planned. So the best thing to do is plan to know what your weaknesses are, know what sin is, and stay away from it. That's godly wisdom. That's the path of staying away to protect yourself from falling into sin. So don't get upset in some areas. I may say some things, but I'm not saying any of those things are sin. But if it's a weakness for me, then I need to stay away from it. For others that can control it and don't allow them to consume it, then that's between you and the Lord. Those things are good tools. But for me, I have to be careful. I want to pay attention to the warning signs that God has given me. Notice with me just a couple things and we'll go to the next point. The path of the wicked in verse 16 is consumed with hurting others. It says, for they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. And then we see that violence, that the wicked is also violent toward others in verse 17. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. And then verse 18, we see wickedness again as walking in the way of darkness. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not what they stumble. Dear friends, the Bible, Psalms tell us that thy word is a light unto my path. The word of God will show and reveal sin to us. It will give us the warning signs. And if we consume ourselves here in Proverbs chapter 4 and looking at life from God's point of view, it will save us so much that could potentially hurt or damage our life or our testimony. Keep your finger there in Proverbs 4, and let's go over to Psalm 1. Psalm 1, and we'll look at a couple verses and we'll come back and finish up. Psalm chapter 1 and verses 1 through 6. Again, how do we stay on the right path? Seek godly wisdom. Pay attention to the warnings. Psalm 1, 1 through 6. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of righteousness. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. See, the way of wisdom is so much better. Everywhere we look at here, as we looked at the ungodly following the Lord, Proverbs or Psalm 1 telling us about the wickedness, but the way of wisdom, back to Psalm 4, the way of wisdom is so much brighter. Look at verse number 18. Psalm 4, back in our text. We see the way of wisdom is brighter. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Verse 20 through 21 and 22, we see that wisdom is not only brighter, but it's healthy. He says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Are we staying on the right path? Are we following wisdom? Now, I get back again to my father, and I can remember so often. I think there was one particular time that my dad looked at me and said, son, I just paused and looked down, and he looked up. I'm concerned. You disappointed me today. I'm not quite sure how to handle this, but I'm disappointed. I'd rather he took me to the woodshed and beat me half to death. Boy, it just tore me up. I was 17 years old. I'll never forget it. Dad walked up to the basement. I sat on the bed. I could hear him close the door at the top of the basement. I sat there on the edge of my bed and I wept, thinking that I disappointed my dad so much that he actually told me, I'm disappointed. Dear friends, I don't know about you, but there are times I believe when we spend time in the Word and we spend time in prayer, we hear the preaching of the Lord, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit whispers and says, watch out. Be careful. You're treading on thin ice, maybe even to the point of saying, you know, I'm disappointed. You know better than that. That's the time to get here to the altar. That's the time to say, Lord, I don't want to disappoint you. Lord, I want to do what's right. I want wisdom. I want that aspect that is brighter, that is healthier for me, for my spiritual life. But so often we get so consumed about what's around us. It seems, isn't it funny how it could take time and time and work and effort to memorize Scripture, to get in our hearts, to make some decisions, to give a good life, and it takes just one moment of temptation to ruin our testimony. It's hard to repair that. It's hard to get it back, but it can be done. But yet, godly wisdom, looking at life from God's point of view. Number three. Not only staying on the right path by seeking wisdom, by paying attention to the warnings, but number three, by guarding the important things. By guarding the important things. If you had to take a moment, I'm not going to give you a list, I'm just going to give you a challenge for another time to think about it. And you had to write down, thinking spiritually, the important things in your life, what would they be? What's important to us? What is really important that is sacred to us that we want to guard? Guard. Our little granddaughter Jovi is 3 years old. And some of y'all met her. I mean, she is just skin and bone, skinny little thing. That little gal can eat double her weight. She's so skinny because she's not, only time she steals is when she's sleeping. She's moving when she's eating. She is quick. And things can happen so quick. And today they were talking, and Rebecca gave a story today, told us how they went out the other day, and they had the kids, and Aunt Becca and Uncle Jay took the girls out shopping while they were here. They were doing their birthdays and their Christmas shopping. I was like, man, can I go too? But they took them out and spoiled them and bought them things for the birthday and for Christmas for the whole year, because they may not see them again for this past year, because they may not see them for a while. And Becca made the comment, it seemed like we just turned around, and boom, Jovi was off. I mean, like a flash, because nobody had their hand, and Kayla panicked. Jovi, and Justin turned around, and Justin's 6'8". One stride, he's about a half a mile down the road. I mean, he got a hold of her so quick, just moved so quickly. But you know, it's the same way. Satan moves in the same sense, in the same way. He sneaks up on us so quick like that we don't even realize it. But when we're prepared and we know that we want to seek godly wisdom, we're going to pay attention to the warnings, and we're going to guard the important things. When I walk with my granddaughters, when we get together, it's always the same thing. Who's got Jovi's hand? She's a 3-year-old. I want to make sure that she's safe. Not just crossing the street, but in a crowd anywhere, because she's young, she doesn't know any better, she's just excited about life, and she'll take off. So we just hold on to that hand. How much of our life, our testimony, our preferences, our convictions do we hold on to as important things in our life? Let's look at a few more verses here. Look at verse 23. Verse 23 tells us to guard your heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Folks, the Bible tells us in other parts of Scripture, the wickedness of the hearts and the mind. We need to guard it and protect it. Verse 24 talks about guarding your lips. Put away from thee froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. In verse 26, we see we're to guard our steps. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. And then verse 27, guard your direction. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Seeking godly wisdom, paying attention to the warning signs, and guarding the important things. It's so important to guard the eye gate and the ear gate. I made it a policy years ago in ministry and in life, before I even was in the ministry, that I made a decision, if I'm going to have one of these computers and have this technology, it's always in my office, at home, wherever it's at. If you walk in my room, that it's there. You'll see it. Because I want accountability. I want to know. I have a cell phone, and sometimes teenagers get upset with me, but they get over it. I tell moms and dads, you need to know the passcodes to your kids' phones. Michelle knows the passcode to my phone. My daughter, who's living here, all of my daughters know the passcode to my phone. If I lay it down, they can pick it up, they can get in my phone. Because not only do I have nothing to hide, I want to make sure that I have nothing to hide. I want to know that they have access. I want to know they have access. You walk into my office, unless I'm canceling, if I am, my wife is going to be with me if it's a lady. The door's open and the computer screen is there where it can be seen. If I'm not using it, I need to close the door for quiet. Oftentimes I like a window on the door, but or I'll turn off the monitor just for that accountability. Because I do not want anything to slip in the eye gates. I don't want anything to slip in the ear gate that might cause me to drift in an area and spend just too long on a subject that might cause me to have an appetite for more. Gentlemen, we need to protect ourselves. It is so important because the landmines that Satan puts in our life, it's so tragic. This is another message. I'll throw this in. I'll wrap this up. I read an article here recently, and I did a series on sexual sins. And in it, the numbers of pornography viewing, the numbers and the percentage were higher for women than it was for men. This is the younger generation. I can't remember the age group. I'll use it another time in the future, the age group. And I got to thinking, I wonder if that's true or if too many men are just flat out lying, that women are a little more honest. I don't know. But even if that's the case, the numbers were astronomical. Dear friends, we've got so much out there, again, with the social networking and the social media. There's some good tools, but put guards in place. Use it for the glory of God and getting the gospel out. But for you, make sure that we have guards in place for our husbands, for our wives, for our kids, for our grandkids. You know, I'm the pastor. I'm the preacher. And I know sometimes I've got to be careful and take the preacher hat on, put on that papaw hat on, but I am so pleased that I work so hard of having a relationship with my kids and my grandkids, and my grandson's a senior this year, and we'll travel to Omaha to see him graduate in May. He'll be off to college, and he's trying to decide what he's going to do, and it thrills my soul when he calls and says, "Papaw," usually text first, "Papaw, you got a minute?" And I don't care what I'm doing. Unless I'm preaching, I've got a minute. I stop what I'm doing. I said, "Yeah, call me when you're ready." And sometimes he'll call. He'll ask about school. He'll ask about work. He'll ask about the future. And I'm so glad that he does. I'm so glad that my daughter Rebecca encourages him. She'll get to a point. She told me the other day, she says, "I'm about to ready to pull my hair out." She says, "Call your papaw," and walks out. Because he's just not sure. One day he wants to do this. The next day he wants to do this. The next day he wants to work this. And all in that is one of those things is working on Lamborghinis and NASCAR race cars. He loves mechanics. He's a smart kid. He's been offered scholarships academically, but he wants to be a monkey wrench. He loves working on cars and motors. But I said, "Logan, no matter what you do, no matter what you choose, pray about it. What does God want you to do, Logan? What is it? How are you going to serve the Lord in that field?" And I encourage him, but I take that soft approach because I want him to come back. I don't want to push him away. I want to encourage him. And moms and dads, grandma and grandpas, aunts and uncles, have a part and an influence of not only your kids, but your nieces, your nephews. Have a part in your grandchildren's life. Encourage them. Let them know how much God means to you. We don't have to be over the top, but we can let them know how important God is to us and share things with them. Answer their questions. Promote them to ask them questions about things, spiritual things. Take it a time. Proverbs 22, verse 5 and 6 is a parent's dream. A parent's prayer. Probably a good prayer for grandparents as well. Proverbs 22, verse 5 and 6, and we'll be finished. Proverbs 22, 5 and 6. Thorns and snares are in the way of the forward, or the crooked. He that doeth keep his soul shall be far from them. And then he says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from them. That first phrase there, train up a child, that's the trainer and the trainee. We need to remember, sometimes we have to gently remind our children, the kids are not the trainer. The parent is. It's the trainer and the trainee. And I have to be careful. I'll tell my girls, I'll ask first. I'll say, is it okay if I say something? Or I'll say something, then I'll go back and say, I'm sorry, maybe I was out of line. But 9 out of 10 times they say, no, Dad, you were right. Thank you for saying something. The trainer and the trainee. And as grandparents, as uncles, and as aunts, we can still be involved in the spiritual training of the younger ones around us. And God gives us those opportunities. He says, train up a child. But it says, notice that part, in the way. That is the direction that they're going. Too many of them are running over here, getting a little bit close to sin, when they need to be running over here. And there's nothing wrong with mom and dad. There's nothing wrong with grandma and grandpa, aunt and uncle, to reminding those younger kids and warning them a little bit. But here's a problem that we have today. Too many kids get told when they're doing wrong. That's it. When's the last time we told they were doing right? When's the last time we said thank you for their good behavior? I make it a point. We were in Germany a few years back. And we were in a lawyer's office, JAG office, and mom and dad had to go back and said to the older son, who's about 10 years old, said, watch your sister and your brother, you guys behave. And they went in, and they talked to an attorney, and me and Michelle were sitting out there. The kids were really, really well behaved. The younger kids were getting a little bit rambunctious, a little bit, and the older brother had to get onto them, get them to sit down. Of course, they didn't want to listen to him. You're not daddy, you're not mama. But they were good kids. And I got through, we got called in to see the attorney, get some powers of attorney signed, and we came back and we went out together, and both families stepped in the elevator together. And I turned around and I stuck out my hand to mom and dad and shook their hand. I said, I just want to let you know you got some good kids. They were so well behaved when they were inside there. They were so well behaved. Your oldest son was politely correcting the little ones. They weren't doing anything bad. He was just a little worried. I saw a little tear well up in Mama's eye. And she said, I've had people tell me my kids were misbehaved, but I've never had anyone commend me on how well good my kids are. Kids need to be told and encouraged when they're doing right, not just pointed out when they're doing wrong. That's the direction. That's the way. And that latter part, when they is old, he will not depart from it. Those, I believe, and helping that area of departing is just setting the right kind of goals. Establish authority. That's lost in our society today. As grandparents, as aunts and uncles, we can still help with that area. Police officers, pastors, the military are not respected in the way they have been in the past. They're not. But I make sure that my grandkids know that. In fact, when we got here and we heard those jets flying over Luke Air Force Base, we heard all that noise, I told the girls, girls, listen, what is that? That's a plane, that's a jet, Daddy. I said, that's the sound of freedom. You know why we have that freedom? And explain to them what our military does for us. When our granddaughters see the American flag, Michelle, what do they say? What is the flag? Yeah, they call it God Blesses America. When they see a flag waving in the wind. It's a flag, but they say, that's God Blesses America. Are some of our kids, they have lost that aspect. And that part of training is to help them to establish authority. And of course, the ultimate authority is the Word of God in mom and dad. And then there's a schedule or playtime. Make it a point when you go visit your family. They may not be your kids, but if they're related, their grandkids or nieces and nephews, make it a point during that time to spend some quality time with them. Just talking with them, playing a little game with them, but spending quality time. Now, my granddaughters will fight you to sit on my lap. My son-in-laws did not like me for a while there. Those little girls, they call Papaw the best snuggler. They'll come up and sit in my lap and lay there, and I will play with their hair. I will tickle their back while they're laying there till they fall asleep and just play with their hair. I did it for their mamas. I do it for them. And they will buckle up there and get back and forth to be who can sit on grandpa first or to take turns. To me, that's quality time with them. Spending time with them, talking to them, playing a game. Hey, I'm 59 years old. I've sat down and had tea parties with my granddaughters because it's quality to them. I want them to know that I love them, and I want to be able to teach them where mom and dad may not have done the best, though they are trying, or whatever the situation may be with our kids, because sometimes kids won't listen to mom and dad, but they might listen to an aunt or an uncle or grandma or grandpa, and when it lines up with mom and dad, it makes it so much better. That establishing authority, scheduling quality playtime or time with them, And then that comes that harder part as they reach the preteen years, that independence learning, of course, with authority. But that independence learning will go a lot smoother when we establish authority and schedule that quality time with them. It all circles back to the beginning of chapter 4 of Proverbs, looking at life from God's point of view. Godly wisdom. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness, for your blessings, and the joy it is to serve you, to live for you. Father, help us, Lord, as we look at our life, that we might determine in our hearts and minds to look at life from God's point of view, to determine in our life that we're going to spend the time that we need in disciplining ourselves, fleeing from sin, and doing all those things that would help us to live a life that's pleasing and honoring unto the Lord Jesus. Father, help us to seek godly wisdom, to pay attention to the warning signs, and to guard the important things, Father. And some of those important things are our children, our grandchildren, our nieces and nephews, and Father, even the boys and girls of the future that walk through the doors of this church are those that need quality from us. And Father, help us to be willing to point out those things. Father, we love you. We ask your blessings in Jesus' name. Let's all stand together.